Well, I'm so glad that the sharing has started already. I'm so glad that we started in the words from the Lord that we've already started to talk a little bit about our memories and our reminders. Well, today we do want to remember Pastor Mike. We do want to remember his, I've heard the word a couple times, right? His legacy for us. And we want to check in with each other this morning to see how we're doing, right? How are we doing with the process of living with our loss? And we want to take time and dedicate the bench up front. I chose this morning the story of David. We've had a couple interesting series of sermons. And I think we started with that one at the picnic where Pastor Garland says, you're not the worst thing that you've ever done, right? You are not defined by the worst thing that's ever happened to you. And then we had the sermon where Pastor Letty preached, right, about sin and forgiveness of sin and how we, when we go out of the guidelines outside of the commandments that God has set for us, that we ask for God's forgiveness and he forgives us. And she talked about sin. And this is, she talks about David. So today I just wanted to, when we remember someone, right, we want to remember the whole person, right? We remember that each person is allowed to be a masterpiece and also a work in progress at the same time, right? So we all are masterpieces. We are all masterpieces created by God. Pastor Mike was a masterpiece created by God, but he also was a work in progress. We're all always a work in progress until the day that we go to be with God. So I just want to start with this verse in Acts chapter 13, 2 that says, after removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Pastor Mike was a man after God's own heart, right? And we are people after God's own heart. As you can see in the Bible, David did not do everything that God wanted him to do, right? So the definition of being a man after God's own heart is not fully encompassed by this idea that we do then everything that God wants us to do. But let's look again at David and how God chose him. Saul disobeyed God, and God decided to replace him. So when God decided to replace him, he sent Samuel to the sons of Jesse. And if you remember the story, Samuel goes and he sees the sons one after the other, right? The oldest son, he's tall and he's handsome. And Samuel thinks, oh, for sure, this person is the one. This is the one that God wants for king. But the Lord says to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look on the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Okay, so we know that a person who's after God's own heart may be a person that does not look that great on the outside. They might be a person who seems like they're weak and vulnerable. They might be a person who makes mistakes, but God looks at the heart. And then we see in the story that eventually they run out of sons, and Samuel says, well, isn't there anybody else? Well, yeah, there's the youngest one, but he's out taking care of the sheep. No, Samuel says, no, we're going to wait for him. Go call him and we'll wait for him. And so when David comes, Samuel, the Lord says to Samuel, rise and anoint him. This is the one. So Daniel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. And so we see that a person after God's own heart, in this case David, a man after God's own heart, has the Spirit of the Lord on him. A person after God's own heart is a person who's pursuing the heart of God and will receive God's aid through his Son, Jesus Christ. To have a heart after the heart of God implies that we admit our sins. If we admit our sins and repent, our heart will be cleaned and purified like the heart of God. Okay, so we have this start here with Acts 13 that says that David, son of Jesse, man after my own heart, will do everything I want him to. But then we also have this idea, right, that a man or a person after God's own heart is a person who's ready and willing to repent so that their heart can be cleaned like God's own heart and purified. So Psalm 51:10 is David's prayer. This is at the end of the chapter 51 of Psalms, which is basically the story of Bathsheba, right? That's what happens after the prayer, after the situation with Bathsheba, which Pastor Letty preached about. And in his repentance, David says, "Create in me a clean heart," or pure heart here, "O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Oops. I guess my little thing didn't pass, didn't make it. So we understand, right, that a person after God's own heart isn't perfect. It's not possible to be perfect. A person after God's own heart won't necessarily avoid significant and grievous sins that can impact the people around them, right, and their family. A person after God's own heart is one who seeks to actively live in obedience to God while also understanding that they need God and that they will make mistakes and they will have to ask God for forgiveness. Okay, so the slide that's missing is basically the same what I mentioned before. It's from the Speak Life series from Toby Mack that I have following on Facebook. It says, "You are allowed to be both a masterpiece and a work in progress simultaneously." Do you believe that? Okay? It's hard, right? I'm a masterpiece. Say that out loud or in your head. I am a masterpiece because God made me, right? He made and God doesn't make mistakes, right? But at the same time, I can be gracious with myself. And God is gracious with me because God understands that I am a work in progress. That's one of these mind-blowing things that we just don't have the mental capacity always to understand, right? That we can be a masterpiece and we can still make mistakes and be a work in progress at the same time. Okay, I want to make sure that I leave plenty of time for sharing, but I do want to run through a few characteristics of a person who has the heart of God. A person who has the heart of God is humble. Verse says, "Low-born men are but a breath." Men, people, right? "High-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath." As people with God's heart, who follow after God's heart, we have to understand and recognize that we are only a breath. We have to be humble. The next one is, a person after God's own heart is reverent. "We acknowledge God. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." A person who has the heart of God is respectful. A And these are all verses from the Psalms. These are all verses from God, from David's Psalms. So it follows the line of David being a man after God's own heart. Be merciful to me, O God, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and my body with grief. A person after God's own heart is trusting. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This morning in the prayer room, we talked a little bit, or I prayed a little bit about the idea that we can't see the future, right? Nobody can see the future. So we trust in a God who can see the future, and we trust that God's way of working out his will in our life is the right way, because God's way is the best way. David says that a person who is a person after God's own heart is a person who is loving. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18:1. I'm hoping that during this list of characteristics that you will the Spirit will nudge you on one of these and say, you know what? I'm a person after God's own heart, but I want to work a little bit more in this area. A person after God's own heart is devoted. It says that you have filled my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. I'm devoted to God because of God's faithfulness to me and because of the joy that God has brought into my life. Recognition. I praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. A person after God's own heart recognizes that central place that God has in our lives. Faithfulness. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A faithful person is a person after God's own heart. A faithful person is committed to living their lives, following Jesus Christ their whole lives. Obedient. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Psalm 119:34. A person after God's own heart obeys God, no matter what the cost. And if they don't obey God, they are repentant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. I know I went through that list pretty fast. But again, maybe one of them stood out to you through the power of the Spirit. Maybe one of those you want to come back to and just do a little bit more studying on. Person after God's own heart, and I would say that this is kind of where my this was kind of my response to this study that I did this week. As you may remember, this was a terrible year for my garden. The deer came in and ate everything down to nothing, and the plants were never able to recover. So I planted some zinnias in the garden, and they were really the only bright spot in the garden. And honestly, I did not go to the garden very often this summer. I didn't pull weeds, and I didn't take care of it. It was too discouraging even to look at it. And this made me feel so sad. And towards the end of the summer, finally, I decided that I would pull out all the weeds and get the soil ready for next year. I mean, we're talking, you know, I couldn't, it wasn't. And to tell you the truth, I was a little scared because I didn't know what was living in there. Right, you're right. So I started in one end, and I planted some cilantro, which, for those of you who know about planting cilantro, they like the cooler weather, so it's okay to plant cilantro now. And I planted some garlic, which will grow next year, and I tended to the asparagus. And then I started kind of working down the garden to pull the weeds. And I could only work like at small sections at a time. I usually tried to get out there in the morning, you know, and got good and hot and sweaty before I could go in and take my shower. And I tried to work when after the rain, because the work was easier then. And there's also a big chestnut tree right next to my garden. So I don't know if you all know what chestnuts look like. I should have brought one, but they're just super spiky. And so there was about 1,000 chestnut hulls inside the garden. So I took some hits from the chestnut spikies too. But I just kept working at it, a little bit at a time. It was my heart. I think about it as like, kind of was like my heart that I had not tended to for all this time, right? And I just kept working at it, little by little, time after time. And like I said, I was a little scared because I didn't know when I would pull something out and there would be a garter snake or something in there, but I just kept working on it. So yesterday was my last day of clearing the garden. Now I can start fresh next year. And yes, there are still weeds in my garden, and there will still be roots and seeds that are going to cause new weeds to grow next year. And yes, next year maybe the deer can still come in over the fence and eat all the plants. But I have done the hard work. I have done the cleansing work in my garden. And I've set last year's failure behind, and I'm prepared to move forward. And again, as I worked, I thought about my own heart, and I thought about creating me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. And thinking about how do we remove those things, right, that keep us from being humble and reverent and respectful and trusting and loving and faithful and obedient and repentant. How do we go to the places in our hearts that we've neglected because we're too discouraged or we're afraid? There's afraid of snakes or afraid of the chestnut prickers or afraid of whatever potential hurt that we are afraid is going to happen. And what will happen if we pull a big handful of weeds out? How will that affect us, right? What are we going to find there? But I think that from what I know about Pastor Mike, which is not very much, you know a lot more than I do, but I think that he would be okay with me encouraging you to clean out your heart, cleanse your heart, that he would encourage you to try to be honest with yourself and to be honest with those around you, that he would want us to remember him as a man after God's own heart, not because he was perfect, but because he sought the Lord, because he was someone who tried to keep his heart clean and his spirit fresh before the Lord. And so I encourage you that as you remember Pastor Mike, you remember his legacy, that you do that hard work that pastors always are encouraging you to do, and that is to keep yourself right with the Lord and keep yourself on the right pathway. I wanted to just end with this this quote that my mom wrote out for me on my birthday this year. It's from a book called A Spring Within by Richard Rohr. And it's kind of full, like it's one of those quotes that you have to read multiple times to really be able to grasp it. So that's why I put it up here on the screen, and I'll read it a couple times. Life, when lived fully,
tends to tool and retool us until eventually we discover a mercy that fills all the gaps necessary for our very survival and sanity. Without grace, everything human declines and devolves into smallness, hurt, victimhood, and blame. To me, what this said to me was that being a person after God's own heart, seeking to make important and central in our lives those things that are important and central to God, it saves us from this smallness and hurt and blame. In our surrender to God and doing things God's way, we discover a mercy. We're transformed and we discover a mercy that fills all the gaps that we feel in our lives. The gaps that have to be filled in order for us to live that abundant life that Jesus and God wants for us. So being a person after God's own heart means being open to God's transformation, being willing to admit that we are a work in progress, even as we accept that we are God's masterpiece. I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to turn the mic over to you, and then is it raining outside or can we go outside? What's that?
It's raining lightly.
Okay, so we'll do... Yeah, I was hoping we could just go outside and be outside and share a little bit, but I think it's okay for us to be in here, and then we'll go outside for just a quick prayer at the end. So this is your time, though. What would you like to share about Pastor Mike, about his legacy, about being a person after God's own heart, about God's work in your life?